Day 18, Spiritual Warfare. It's day 18, and we are in the middle of understanding the mission of God. One of the most under-communicated concepts is the spiritual battle we all face as Christians. Yes, we do fight with our human nature. We struggle to submit to God at times. But that is not all. There is a real active force fighting within the spiritual realms of things we cannot see. With that said, I'm not trying to put fear into you or imply that every negative thing happens because of Satan. Sometimes the choices we make have negative consequences, or we have a lack of self-control, which can cause harm to us or put us in a depressed state. I heard it said many years ago that this battle exists because eternity is on the line. Souls will have a destination after this life. It will be either heaven or hell, and a war rages for all souls, even those who are evil people. There is a stigma on spiritual warfare because certain Christians have taken this topic way out of context or emphasized it so much that it feels like Satan is an unstoppable force. We as believers are fighting out of a place of victory, not defeat. The truth is that the enemy doesn't want us to understand the power, freedom, authority, and victory we now possess. If we understood and tapped into that potential, our lives would completely change, and we would become dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Could you imagine if Christians were all in, not just a little, but 100%, and knew how to fight this battle? The battle. Battle with the sinful nature. As we have highlighted on day 4, we are in a battle between two forces, and they are the sinful nature, the flesh, and the spirit. The best scriptural example of the sinful nature comes out of Romans 7. Romans 7:14 through 25. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what's good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. What Paul is saying here is we will live with the pull or bend in our human nature towards sin until we meet Jesus. The good news is this, verse 25, we have deliverance through Jesus Christ. We can stand up to the pull of sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you do not remember how to fight through sin, look back at day 2. We will not spend too much time on this because of our previous discussions, but I did want to bring this back to your attention as we talk about the battle, because the enemy will try to use our nature against us constantly. The spiritual battle. The spiritual battle is so real, we do have the ability to see it raging in front of us, but we have to have eyes to see, spiritual eyes. The more in tune with the Holy Spirit we are, the greater this reality becomes, but also the greater peace, life, and understanding we will have. Romans 8:6. With that said, it's not like the devil is behind every corner or under every rock. Do not live in paranoia or fear because we have victory through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Below are some verses to help us on struggles of fear or if we feel like we are defeated at times. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Romans 8:37 through 39. Know in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we now know we have victory through Christ Jesus, we should start to understand how the enemy attacks. He usually attacks us when we are vulnerable, off guard, or tired. I can promise you one thing. These first few months are especially vulnerable because you are new to your faith and you are pressing into God. The enemy will do everything he can to pull you away from God. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Remember, you already have the victory, but you have to walk in it. So how is it possible that we stay on guard at all times? One of the most effective ways to think of this idea of being on guard is to understand how a soldier thinks. Does the soldier show up daily to war with short sandals and a t-shirt? No. He shows up in battle gear ready to go and take on the day. We as Christians have to have the same mindset. We should put on our spiritual armor every day and have the awareness that the battle is raging daily. The best way to do this is to wake up each morning to spend time with God and remind yourself of what it says in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 6:10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Spiritual armor. We have spiritual armor to fight this battle, and here are the verses that help us to understand what we have. Ephesians 6:14 through 17 says, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The belt of truth. Truth holds us together very much like a belt. The truth of God's word, when manifested in our lives, forms character-guiding attributes like stability, integrity, and honesty. John 17:17. These truths are marks of a genuine believer, which also reflect the character of who Christ is. Specifically in verse 14, Paul describes the Roman soldiers' armor. One part of their uniform was a belt which supported the sword, balanced out their armor, and helped secure key parts of their gear. Truth gives us confidence and clarity about who Christ is and about the Word of God, while also correcting us and keeping our spiritual lives on track. The breastplate of righteousness. The Roman soldier's breastplate protected the heart, lungs, and other vital organs in battle. For believers, Paul refers to this as the breastplate of righteousness. Just as the breastplate covers vital organs for the soldier, so does Christ's righteousness cover us. So when we put on his righteousness, we are relying on Christ's righteousness, not our own ability to protect ourselves. We are not capable of protecting ourselves through our own righteousness. In addition, there is a responsibility within the believer to put on the breastplate of righteousness daily, Matthew 6:33. We must understand and most importantly, apply God's word and follow his Spirit. Within this battle that we face, we must avoid and defend against the schemes and attacks of the enemy and our own flesh. Nothing knocks a believer off course more quickly than sin. That sin brings shame, embarrassment, and separation in our relationship with God. Ultimately, it delays the spiritual maturing process that is taking place. That is why right living matters in this battle. Feet fitted with the gospel of peace. We, as believers in this battle, are trying to bring the good news or the gospel to those around us. In the midst of this, we are in a real battle that is spiritually and physically violent. The gospel gives peace to those who are in spiritual turmoil. Only through a relationship with Christ can humans find true peace, security, and freedom. Roman soldiers also had sandals as a part of their battle dress uniform, and believers should have themselves fitted and ready to bring the good news of Jesus to those in a spiritual struggle. Allow peace to guide you. The enemy wants to disrupt our peace by frustrating us, but don't let him. The shield of faith. The shield is a very easy to understand part of Roman armor. It was used to protect the soldier from arrows, swords, and other weaponry. The enemy will come at the Christian from all angles, and this is the advantage of the shield. It's mobile and allows you to defend all angles of attack. In the same way, our faith covers us in all aspects of attack from the enemy. Remember, faith is trust and reliance on something or someone. So in this sense, we have trust in God that protects us from the enemy. He is our shield. Specifically, this passage talks about flaming arrows. But it says the shield of faith can extinguish all if our trust, faith, is fully reliant on God. The helmet of salvation. Just as a physical helmet protects the head of a soldier, Paul describes the helmet of salvation to protect the believer's mind and thoughts. This helmet represents the assurance of salvation and the hope of eternal life in Christ. This, in return, gives confidence to the believer in who he or she is in Christ. This also provides mental and spiritual stability within our thoughts. Satan is a thought caster, as we see in Genesis 3, when he tells Eve, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The battle of the mind is real, and the enemy will try to convince you of so many things, but knowing who we are and the security we have in Christ establishes a great confidence in our new identity. The sword of the Spirit. Lastly, this is the first and only offensive weapon mentioned within the passage. It symbolizes the Word of God, the Bible, which is a powerful weapon for believers to use in combating spiritual challenges such as temptation and deception. As mentioned previously, we see Jesus himself use Scripture to fight off and defend himself against the enemy, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and he does this throughout his ministry. One other note to take into consideration, when Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness, Jesus says out loud the Scripture. We must not only declare the Word of God internally, but it's necessary at times to verbalize out loud the truth of God's words over us in prayer or during moments of being attacked. There is power in His Word.